Hello, Evergreen and online friends. I'm so glad you joined us. You know, we're talking about praying all kinds of prayers. And today we're taking a look at gratitude. We're 10 months into 2020. And I don't know about you, but I think we find ourselves easily distracted by all that has gone wrong. Take a look at these 2020 memes with me. I hope it'll stir a few laughs and at least a smile from you. We've gone from masks to these. I don't know, but I think they look like those clear backpacks that are, and they've stuck them on their heads. That is a tough way to have coffee. No matter what we do, 2020 seems to find us. Oh yeah, how many of you feel like you got hit by, right between the eyes with an arrow? Well, if 2020 were a drink, this would be it. I know many of you have not had the privilege of experiencing this, but I think you can imagine with the word colon in it. This next one, I expect an amen. Travel plans in 2020? So many trips were canceled. Now, instead of the Sydney Opera House, we found ourselves drying dishes at home. And then 2020 social norms. Who knew it would be the year of the introvert? That's right, my fellow extroverts, we find ourselves walking along through 2020 with an introvert encouraging us that we can make it through. It's amazing. And if 2020 was a bag of chips, just, orange juice toothpaste. When I mentioned gratitude, did you think this is what I had in mind? Not exactly, friends. We don't have to pretend that all is well in order to give thanks. Author Amy Latta came up with the idea of the thankful pumpkin, an idea for families to do together in the month of November to help the family develop their gratitude muscles. As you can see, the idea is to take a pumpkin and a black Sharpie or permanent marker and set it in a central place in your home for the month of November. Have the family share something they're grateful for at a meal each day and write it on the pumpkin. Read the thanks aloud each day together and invite your family to add additional thanks throughout the day. At your Thanksgiving meal, have the big reveal and review your thanks for the month on your pumpkin. Now, we invite you to join us in this. Post your pictures with your thankful pumpkin each week on Evergreen's Facebook and Instagram, hashtag Thankful Pumpkin. We'll look for those there. But you know, this exercise got me thinking, what size of pumpkin would I have needed if I had written all my thanks to God on a pumpkin this past week? Are you getting ready to do a starting point gratitude assessment? I have here five pumpkins in five sizes, numbered 1 to 5, representing the personal gratitude expressions you have to God. The questions you and your viewing partners or family or roommates get to consider is if these pumpkins represent your gratitude expressions to God over the past week, which one would yours be? 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5? Now, before you share your answer, it's time for my confession. My personal gratitude score for this past week is this pumpkin right here, good old number 2. I had a week where I did not express a lot of thanks to God. I seemed focused on what needed fixing in others' world and my own. Anyone else ever have that happen to you? Okay, it's your turn. Take a few moments and share with your viewing partners which pumpkin fits your last week of gratitude to God. Ready? Go. Each week, we've been exploring what Paul meant when he told us in Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. This week, we want to explore the magic word. You know the magic words your parents taught you, please and thank you. That's right. Is this so we can create some kind of prayer checklist for us? Laments? Check. Election prayers? Check. Not at all. In fact, what we want to do is broaden our conversations with God. We want to have more conversations of all kinds with God. Our son Jordan, as a teenager, liked to check in after he came in at night. He'd knock on our bedroom door and then come in and tell us about his day or evening, whatever was on his mind. We loved it. We wanted to hear from him, and any initiation on his part to talk to us was treasured. Our daughter Hillary, on the other hand, approached those conversations differently. She liked to come home from school, have snacks, chill for a bit, do some homework in her room, and then maybe later, she'd be ready to talk about the day. The secret with her was that we needed to be ready to listen when she was ready to have a conversation. But the point is, friends, we loved it when our kids talked to us, whatever that looked like. We were just happy to hear from them, to get to hear what was going on inside their head and in their world. But I want you to know today, God is more eager to hear from us than any parent. And we want to move from polite, cautious, and careful to raw, honest, and real in our conversations with God. We want to create space in our conversations for more dialogue, less monologue, and move closer to Him rather than withholding from Him. We want to sprinkle our conversations with thanks, knowing He is at work even when we can't see what He's up to yet. Now, to do that, we're going to consider Paul's instructions to us and then take a look at Jesus' habit of thanks. And then, folks, we're going to launch into our week ready to express gratitude to God in such a way that this number 5 pumpkin could not contain it, overflowing with gratitude. So, what interferes with our gratitude? In a word, circumstances. Whether it be a dire need we have, a time crunch in our schedule, a problem we're trying to solve, a loss we are grieving, unresolved anger. Okay, this is where I might need to add, losing at games. You don't want to watch our family pay cards. Or maybe it's our own prosperity that gets in the way. We often let our circumstances dictate our gratitude. I think it's interesting that in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, a guy who lived through a lot of tough times, and that might be an understatement, friends, had the most to say about giving thanks. He was given 40 lashes minus one 5 times. He was beaten with rods 3 times. He was pelted with stones and left for dead on another occasion, shipwrecked 3 times, and he faced all sorts of dangers. And he went without food, water, or proper shelter on many occasions. And all of this happened after he became a follower of Jesus. His life rivals anything that 2020 has thrown at us. Let's read what he said in 4 different letters that he wrote, 3 of them from prison. First of all, this out of 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray continually, in every circumstance, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then in Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And in Ephesians, another book Paul wrote from prison, says this, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be being filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, in the book of the Bible with the most thanks for its size, Colossians 4:2, Paul writes this, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. What we learn from Paul's instructions is that gratitude goes with everything. Whatever my conversation with God is about, whatever my circumstances, whatever difficulties, chaos, or hardship I'm experiencing, whatever time pressures I'm feeling, whatever my schedule or to-do list looks like, gratitude goes with it all. Those spill your guts prayers or laments that I talked about 2 weeks ago, gratitude goes with them. Those election prayers that I hope you're joining us in praying each day that Jared shared with us last week, 4 of the 6 of them begin with saying thanks to God, because gratitude goes with everything. Every kind of prayer we might offer is better with some thanks. We know what Paul told us to do, but what did Jesus do? Jesus did not let his circumstances, whatever they might be, keep or distract him from giving thanks to his Father. In Matthew 14, we see Jesus' disciples informing him that a crowd has gathered and they need some food. They've surveyed the crowd and come up with 5 loaves and 2 fish. They think they need to send them away to get their food, but Jesus has another idea. We pick it up in verse 18. "Bring them here to me," he said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people, and they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So let's get this straight. Jesus had 5,000 plus people to feed and not enough food for a small dinner party. But he stopped and gave thanks in front of thousands of people. What else could he have done? Ask his Father for more food. That's what comes to mind for me. But instead, he gives thanks and the food is provided as they pass it out. Can we all just say amazing? That begs the question though, what do I do when I have a big need? I often go immediately into problem-solving mode. Jesus shows us that giving thanks is good to do when there's a gap between what we have and what we need. Is that challenging for you like it is for me? Well, in another encounter, Jesus' friend Lazarus has died, and Jesus is standing outside Lazarus' tomb, and what does he do? He gives thanks. In John 11, we read, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." What? Jesus is about to raise his friend from the dead in the midst of a group of wailing friends and some of his worst critics, and he stops to thank his Father for hearing him. What does that tell you? That giving thanks goes with everything, as in every kind of conversation we might have with God, including our biggest requests. So let's look at one other experience of Jesus. Fully aware that he's about to go to the cross, Jesus shares a final meal with his disciples. Now, the one who's going to betray him, Judas, is at the meal sharing it with him too. Mark's gospel says, "While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take it, this is my body.' And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it." That's a habit, friends. Even facing his own death, Jesus is taking time to give thanks for the sacrifice that he's about to make, for his body about to be broken on that cross, and his blood, which would soon be shed for all of us. He does not let his circumstances stop him from giving thanks for the most difficult thing he would ever do. Wow, that challenges me too. You see, what is he showing us? That gratitude goes with everything, even the most difficult things that God asks you and I to do, or allows us to go through. Does that describe you in dire circumstances? I know my answer. I spill my guts in these moments, but I often forget to say thanks. Would you stop with me for a moment and consider what is something difficult that you've been wrestling with, either for yourself or someone you love. And let's pause for a moment and thank God for who He is in the middle of that. Go ahead and do that there in your living room. As I was preparing for this talk, I felt like God wants to stand in front of each one of us, and He wants to lift our chins up and look us in the eyes and remind us, I've got you. Not even I've got it, but I've got you. The words I heard are from Psalm 3:3. David wrote these words in the middle of a very difficult time with one of his sons. He wrote, "But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory and the one who lifts my head." There's a song that we love to sing. It's called Waymaker. I found myself singing it this past week as I walked through the produce aisles at the store. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You know, friends, that is true today. When we remember who He is, we can always give thanks. You know, with that in mind, as I contemplated 2020, here's five things that I'm thankful for. God's presence is with us. God's faithfulness to do what only He can do, like bringing my mom and Jared through COVID-19, like healing our friend and former associate pastor Rick Sawchuk after his stroke, like helping our students and parents with figuring out schooling, and so much more. And I'm thankful to Him that we get to experience 2020 in the beautiful Pacific Northwest, where we can enjoy rivers and mountains and beaches in an hour or less away, and for all the extra time we have to do that. And I'm thankful for families and generations that are working together more than ever to make life work in our present situation. And fifth, I am so thankful to God for the generosity of this church in helping people in all sorts of ways, depending on one another more than we ever have. Lord, we give You thanks, for You are at work. Would you pray with me? Thank You, Lord, for being a way maker. Thank You for being a miracle worker, a promise giver, a light in our darkness. Lord, thank You today that You're going to help us this week to sprinkle thanks into our conversations with You, to be people overflowing with gratitude. And Lord, I pray for every person here that they will actually experience that sensation of You looking them in the eyes, lifting their chin, and making Your promise to them that You are their shield, whatever comes this week. Thank You for helping us be a thankful people. In Jesus' name, amen. So hear Paul's words to us all. So then, friends, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness, because thanks goes with everything. Let's add it to all our conversations with God, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in.